This on Triple M. Wherever you're listening, it's me, Tony Martin, Ed Cavalli. Oh, dear. I'm not sure if he's going to be able to speak. That's terrible.
Did you see that footage?
I saw right there.
It's a thief. Takes a tumble down the stairs.
Mm, that's right.
Gets up and it's really, her foot looks pretty bad.
Yeah, I know.
And she's getting, like the old Simon sort of deal.
Yeah.
She's got her arm around someone and she's still walking though. She walked off.
Yeah.
But then in front of her is the dude that she dances with in the arms of a big strong man getting carried out of there bodyguard style.
She's a trooper.
Relax. Relax my livelihood.
We love people. Why don't they just have it every week? Just Channel 7's tumbling down the stairs.
Right. Every week, different celebrities.
Celebrity down the stairs.
Like the old clumsy chef from Sesame Street. Clutching pastries every week.
That'd be good for the first
episode.
You need someone that'll bounce. Someone rotund that'll bounce.
Maybe the first.
Joe Hockey.
Joe Hockey. Oh,
send him down the stairs.
Well, Ruddy and Hockey. Yeah.
Well, there we go. Nikki's just held up a piece of paper that says John Wood.
She often does that for no reason.
I know.
She's got one plaque she holds up. John Wood. No, Nikki.
Ever listen to Beef being interviewed by Daryl?
I reckon she's pissed.
Yeah, I had x-rays and the doctor, I've got it heavily strapped down on painkillers. The doctor hasn't been okay yet, but hopefully.
You've done the whole week rehearsing the Paso Doble and the whole. How's your own? Well, yeah, I'm on painkillers too, so hopefully we'll both get through.
I think that was Daryl's song that might have done that.
So I don't know if he sings still. Does he sing on that show?
I don't know.
Does a few gags and dances a bit at the start.
Yeah, he riffs.
He riffs.
Yeah, he does.
Okay. Look, we're being a bit unfair about Phoebe. We love Phoebe on this show. It can be very difficult on live television when you're in a circumstance you're not used to dancing or, say, playing poker. I don't know if you guys saw me on the WPT on the weekend.
Richard?
Well, I ran an IQ on it, but I haven't gone back and watched it yet.
Are you a fan of, do you like Mike Sexton and Ben Patton?
May all your pots be monsters.
May all your pots be monsters.
He's great.
He's laying down the twigs and branches.
He's
on the morphine drip.
What did you wear onto that? Did you have a character that you went along with? I hate the guys with the glasses. I think that's cheating.
Yeah. I think the little hat with the propeller on the head wasn't a good look for me, but
the spinning bow tie was a winner.
See, I always assumed you couldn't hear Sexton and Ben Patton when you're down on the table.
Surely.
Have a listen to what happened.
Sexton, let's go back down to the money pit on Nick Shulman.
I have a club. No, Nick Shulman.
He's happier than Jude Law at a nanny convention.
We don't have a
big smile by the 21-year-old.
I'm down to a jail.
Well, Tony is the one that's not
happy. Tony,
tough decision for Tony right here. He passed his cards and you can see the train in his face.
Tony's
agonizing over this decision.
No, I'm agonizing whether to come up for that f***ing vote.
He's got a little over 1.2 million in chips. Costing not quite half of them to make the call if he wants to make it.
Would you let me just make it?
He is on life support as he gets up from his chair.
There we go. All in. Tony is moving all in here with the ace high.
That's the Tony we know.
There you go. Welcome back, Tony. This amateur player still left in this tournament. Vance, this guy got in on a $225 satellite. That is incredible for a guy who's only been playing poker 2 years.
He's showing with a 49 in hand.
It's been longer than 2 years. I mean, all in. I've been all in.
Well, that's unbelievable how quickly he said all in.
He didn't say it.
Before Nick's chips even hit the spell, all in Tony goes all in again.
Hang on, when did I become all in?
There you go, all in Tony. Finally starting to live back up to his name here a little bit.
Tony, stop calling me.
I turned into AIT. I was all in. I got some playing hands.
just get back to the game, please.
All right, back to the action. Oh, kind of hot right now. Bill Gates is on a nice comeback goal. Yeah, look at this, Mike.
Stop talking. Enough of this all-in.
He's gone all-in with a bet.
What?
Unbelievable. Well, Matt, I can't believe this play.
Dire Straits, King Sanders, and Fair Aces.
I got to tell you, I'm a little shocked here by Tony's play. This guy's been the most conservative player at the table here all night long.
So Tony takes a shot at the worst possible time.
The moment the sun could be over here shortly. Let's see what happens. Here comes the prop.
So can we just drop that nickname? Sorry, Tom. Never happen again.
It's one of the few shows where you can flop the nuts on stage
and get applause.
Oh, yes! The nuts!
Or flop top pair.
Yeah,
oh. Okay. A right, painful. All right, we'll be back with Cavaliers, believe it or not, next on Get This. Here at Get This, you know what the ninth field in this studio?
What's that?
I like to sing along during the... Because I have a microphone and some headphones, and it's the closest I'm ever going to get. So I close my eyes and I really get into it. But I've noticed that Rich has been turning the microphone on earlier and earlier.
Oh, John Lawson style.
Yeah. So I've really got to watch that red light because one day my own rendition of 20 Good Reasons is going to go to air.
Yeah, I know, but when you put your hands to your headphones and you sing at the top of your lungs, it's like the We Are the World film clip.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful moment.
Not just song lyrics I'll be worried about. Oh, yeah. Libelous comments about comedians, obviously, is a. It's a big topic, especially during the comedy festival in Melbourne. But it's not time for that.
No dice.
It's time to play Cavaliers, believe it or not. What mix is that? I've never heard all that before.
I like it.
Hey, let's just see. So did everyone want to take part in this? All right.
No one's asking you.
Ed is going to read out some headlines.
Okay.
Some of them are from Take 5 magazine.
That's life this week, Tone.
Others completely invented. Richard and I have to guess which are the Cavaliers.
Believe it or not. Ricaldinho, you can go first.
Okay, great.
My son is addicted to food.
Has your mum sold her story to That's Life magazine?
No, she hasn't got the $50.
Oh, well, I think it's true. I think it might be true, though.
It is true. A lady said that her son is so addicted to food that she called him last week. Troy had smuggled a frozen chicken into his bed while he was waiting for it to thaw.
Oh, wow. That's commitment.
I'm sure you've done that, though.
Yeah. No, the most food I've ever taken to bed, I took a salad to bed once.
Wow. Did you score?
Truly delicious. Yeah.
How do you know? Is the salad put out?
Yeah. Been seeing each other for a while.
What about my dog? It's addicted to food.
Yeah.
Last night.
It always goes, I like food. It always goes, my dog. I don't like the connotations.
I found an old packet of potato chips that was like, you know, had been opened and then twist tied and been in there for about 4 weeks.
Okay.
And it only had a few chips in the bottom. But I used them as the decoy chips while I ate a new packet of chips. So every time I went for some, I just throw some, scatter some on the floor, and then I just scattered some in the dog's bed while I ran to the kitchen to seal off the bag. Because the dog won't let you seal off the bag.
What'll happen?
It's just okay, man, you can't close that. They're not finished. There's more in there. I could have those. Wouldn't you think it'd be good if I had them? I could have all of them. Look at this. They've fit in that paw quite easily. That paw, that's chip size, that paw.
It's a nightmare living with a Labrador.
You're making me want a dog. All right, you ready?
Hit me.
My can. Triple-decker lizards.
Nonsense, that's not true.
It's true.
What?
That's like magazine. There are these three lizards that sun themselves, one on top of the other on top of the other. They've taken the old double-decker and turned it into a triple-decker.
God, sure, but.
Yeah.
That'd be a lot of cash from People magazine.
No, that one got... Oh, really? Because they got 25 for that slide.
Oh, I reckon they give you $100 a people.
$100
But lizards that appear to be having sex.
Wow.
They'll give you $25 if you just lean two rocks against each other.
We should be cashing in. Richard.
I'm back to me. Yep.
Yeah.
Right, let's do it.
I eat Lego.
I reckon that's true. I reckon someone actually does that.
It's true.
It is true.
I had a friend... went to Thailand to get some, like, gear, like, some...
some gear.
No, to bring some gear back to Australia. Should have thought of this.
Did she have enormous teeth?
No. Well, okay, let's just say, let's leave all that out.
Enough room behind the teeth to strap 2 kilos of gear.
Let's cut that out when it goes to air and say that they went there and they went to, like, this monastery that does, like, body cleansing stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And they had a shelf of all the stuff that had been washed out of people's insides.
Oh,
coins, you know, bobby pins, and a pirate Lego man.
Oh, wow. It's painful enough stepping on one of those things in the middle of the night in bare feet.
Oh, imagine having it with some tomato sauce.
What do you mean a shelf? They had a shelf.
A shelf of, like, things parts.
Fantastic.
Coins. Bobby pins.
Oh, there's Hinder's Lips of an Angel.
Drag it out, put it on the playlist. Ready, Tone?
Yep.
Actor John Howard is gobsmacked.
I don't think he takes part in the teabagging.
No, don't say that. That's offensive. Don't possibly besmirch the name.
Well, I guess he could, but yeah, I think that's true.
He is gobsmacked.
Yeah, he got another Logie nomination. Mm. And this week in TV Week, they've all of the gold Logie nominees have written, like, little post-it notes saying thank you very much. And he just says, I'm gobsmacked.
Do you mean John Howard or John Wood?
No, John Howard.
Oh, John.
Howard of the Johns.
Right.
Yeah. All Saints now, isn't he?
He's All Saints.
Yeah.
He's All Saints. Ready? One more, Rich?
Okay.
Ready? Cool. I bought my own arm back.
Is in any way connected to the gruesome pictures of the crocodile with the arm in its mouth from last week?
No, you sicko.
I'm going to say that's not true.
You said it's Cavalier. You're right.
Oh, wow, that's amazing.
It's from the... I was sitting there. I didn't have any ideas whatsoever. And I thought of the old King Missile song, Detachable Penis.
Yeah, I thought you did.
They'll be on to me if I say it's, I bought my own penis back. But if I change it to arm, I'll trick him. I didn't. Let's move on.
That's pure Cavalier.
That's it. It doesn't end with a bang, my segment. It just sort of fizzes out.
There was only 5 questions. Like, shouldn't it be an even number if there's 2 of us playing?
All right, then fine. Okay, you ready, Tony?
Here we go.
Believe it or not.
Booting at home.
Oh,
so you're leaping through the magazine. Clearly the answer is going to be from the
page. Believe it or not, Tony. Believe it or not.
You've got a zoo there.
Hello.
Surely there's something leaping out of you.
Yeah. Believe it or not. Paris Hilton stars with Paul Giamatti in the new National Lampoon's film, Pledge This.
I'm just astonished that Paul Giamatti is reduced to appearing in the straight-to-video National Lampoon title.
Believe it or not.
I'm not true.
Well, which is it, Tone?
I'd say that Paris Hilton, yes, Paul Giamatti, no.
Let's move on.
Were you even going to answer?
You're right!
Oh!
It's a good choice, though, because it's just possible with Paul Giamatti.
That's right.
Like, he's been in some low-rent gear.
Oh, yeah.
Like?
Oh.
I
wanted to say Private Parts, where he was pig
but that's actually quite a great movie.
What's that one, that M. Night Shyamalan, that latest?
Lady in the Water.
That was nonsense.
Oh, yeah.
The Lady in the Water.
Unnecessary.
Splash was made 20 years ago, 30 years ago. It didn't need to be remade.
It was pretentious nonsense.
Yeah, you know it. You know it, Tony.
So there we go. That's Cavaliers, believe it or not. Probably not the ratings winner we'd hoped it would be. Bit of a fizzer, but what are you going to do? Hey, what are you going to do?
I guess you just got to throw to Be Good Johnny by Bed at Work.
We'll be back right after this with something equally as sizzling.
George.
Thank you.
John.
Johnny.
Man at Work here at Get This Around the Nation on Triple M, where we just must say hello to Lee in Brisbane, one of our listeners who called in. Now, we love stories where someone drives through a house.
Do we ever?
And doesn't get injured. Now, this one, the person was slightly injured.
But they're okay.
They're okay. I just want to mention it because this bloke, I think in Brisbane, drove into someone's house across the road in reverse.
Oh.
He goes into the Pantheon backwards.
Well,
beautifully.
Here we go again. A man in somewhere or another.
Oh, you're there.
2 p.m. yesterday, so no excuses for darkness or anything like that.
Mm.
Lost control, slammed into a house. No one was injured, minor structural damage.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. We were all for slamming into houses.
Yeah,
we've always been for that.
As long as no one gets hurt.
Absolutely right. But look at this, Tony. Ram Raiders steal an ATM every 6 days.
Really?
People getting in the big cars, getting in your four-wheel drive, slamming into things and nicking off with ATMs.
Mm-hmm.
These guys these other guys are doing it for free. There's real money to be made in this.
They're giving it away.
This is what I mean.
Yeah, I think it was ever since that bloke drove, you know, tried to steal the ATM and his bumper came off with his number plate on it.
Probably the last time it really worked.
there was nowhere to go after that gag.
But this is the best photograph. They've gone, all right, let's slam into let's get the ATM, let's crash into it.
Yeah.
It's on the second floor. That's all right. Look at this. We'll just drive. We'll try and get up the escalators in our Nissan Patrol. What did you successfully steal? Well, we crushed some chairs in the food court.
That's a victory of sorts. I have to say, driving up an escalator is an impressive
effort. Yeah, that's true.
You've got to give them points for that.
All right.
Every show in town has already talked about this business. Kate Middleton and Prince William.
Oh, yeah. They broke up.
Yeah. Why are people so interested?
Because he's a prince.
But he's kind of a snooty twerp, isn't he?
Oh, yeah, he is. Harry's, it began that
you're
Prince
that
William
Harry.
Was the sex symbol, and then suddenly it's sort of gone a bit Charles-ish.
Mm-hmm.
And then Harry's like the dangerous, dark and interesting one.
Yeah, he drives a tank. Talk that she wasn't posh enough. Here's what Angela Bishop said on Channel 10 News.
Other reports say Kate's family wasn't up to scratch. Apparently her mother, former air hostess Carol, says toilet instead of lavatory.
Oh,
a big no-no in royal circles.
How did that come out? How did they find out? Would the Queen have tried to, you know, bring it up in conversation?
She's full of traps, the Queen.
Sir, would you like to try a toilet? Oh, no, wrong.
Thunderbox?
There you go. Thunderbox.
Thunderbox is justified.
Lavatory. Have you ever used the word lavatory in your life?
Never.
No.
No.
I'd like to think that that's what tipped it, though. You know, 6 years of romance out the window for not using the word lavatory. Is it a toilet? Thunderbox?
Yeah.
Long drop? Kazi. Probably threw in a Kazi.
The long drop.
I don't recall Randy Quaid in Christmas Vacation saying the lavatory's back up.
As he empties it into the
car. That is one of the great characters. Randy Quaid.
Do we have time for Kate?
I'll tell you, there's a great monster film.
Yeah?
With just Angela Bishop chasing people.
Okay. When you say there is, you mean...
There could be.
Oh, there could be.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's going well.
Could be. Even though we don't have that one. I'll just mention some quick Caporal facts. We received this...
is it time for entries?
Have you got some there?
Oh, yeah, heaps.
All right, you give us that, because this is quite a sizable time I've received from Joshua Phillips. We'll be getting to that later.
Check this guy out. Brett has sent us in that. Look at that. Man in a cape changing a tyre.
Oh, that's
very nice. That is what we're talking about.
He goes into the gallery.
Man in cape sent in from Matt. Man in cape cleaning toilet.
Yeah.
Not even looking at the camera.
Right.
And then, look at this.
Lavatory, I think he'll find.
Sorry, Thunderbox. And then for some wacky gear, me cape's caught in the door.
Is that good wacky cape caught in door acting? Let me see that.
Oh, yes. Have a look. You are the judge of these things.
Very acceptable. That's jackass realistic, that one. I like that. Beautiful.
Okay, now, here we go. Glenn English has sent this one in of some kids diving into a pool.
Capes!
With some capes.
That's fantastic. Synchronized swimming in capes.
Now, what you're hoping for is the next photograph is them kind of struggling down the pool,
yeah.
You know, in the capes, being very cumbersome. Not so. And it gets to an issue that Nikki and I have been talking about, which is the child abuse of Caporal.
Okay.
Here is a child in a Batman costume playing soccer.
Yeah.
He will be ridiculed.
Yeah.
Now, what we're saying is, did he come up with the idea, the kid? Is he after the iMac?
Mm.
Or is it parents putting their kids into capes and cape-like costumes to try and win a sympathy vote to get the iMac?
Oh, I think there might be a bit of that. But also, you know, we're not looking for superhero costumes. That'll be another mum.
I know.
Mm. I know.
We'll do Bat Timber or something like that.
I think kids are fine with capes. It's the cows that they have problem with.
Mm.
You know, lots of cows going on.
Oh, cows.
Yeah, you know, the half masks that Batman wears.
Wow. It's a cow.
To dumb it down for me, Rich.
Oh,
I think that would have done it. Here is a man a very clever man, a very attractive man called Stephen,
yeah,
who is driving a forklift in a very, very nice child's bedspread tied around his head with stars all over it.
Moments later, he would have been strung up by that Cape Boys co-workers, I'm guessing, but well done, that man.
Zach getting beaten.
In the running for the iPod, the 24-inch iPod.
iPod. Welcome to the 21st century, Tone. That screen in front of you, all number of things can change on that. It's a computer.
A 24-inch iPod, imagine that in your pocket. That's as ridiculous as the iMac. iMacs need a pair of keppers for those. How is the iMac coming along? A computer that's iMac size on your desk. You have to knock a wall down in your office.
But how big would those MySpace photos that look fantastic? Windswept teenagers, those 30 Sanchez clips of
wonderful screech. That big, can you imagine?
Awful.
How disturbing that would be.
Awful.
We need to go to a break. I'm feeling sick.
So unexpected, so freaky, and absolutely terrifying.
Get this around the nation we're in. I'm told we need to skew a bit younger.
That is absolutely false.
No, we do. So what can you do?
Can you set this
up?
Yeah, no, I reckon I can. I reckon I can throw to this song.
Yeah.
Youth style, Rich. So if you could give us a bed, let's have it.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. What's happening? Pair pose and play. This one because I have it on my iPod. I'll probably catch you at the X Games. I'll be flipping it back down the inline style. Yeah. Oh. Alright, Joel, so set your sneakers to high top and your wrist to slap band. We get into straight in the latest one from Fallout Boy. Hats back with Joel, it's the Eye Mascara from Hit Playing Full Stop the song, which all the way from DC to the US. This is Fallout Boy with the hot new track. Yeah, it's the same, it's a great break.
Boy, is here this on Triple M, where, well, after midday, we're going to be joined by someone you're a big fan of, Andy Zaltzman. Oh, he's going to be great. Very funny comedian in town for the Melbourne International Comedy Festival, Victoria. And I'll tell you what, he's going to be here. He's going to kill.
Choice of words.
It'll be really funny. That's all.
Yes, we'll see you then.
Yeah, we will. Poor though, so he's back on. Jeez, I tell you what, that Caruso.
That is the most bizarre performance in the history of television.
The music's doing all the work.
He has, because often the acting doesn't work unless they put music under it. It's just that very odd timing.
Do you mean?
And floating. Have you noticed he'll just float his head around the front?
Oh, yeah. I love David Caruso. He's great. Yeah. I reckon he's the new Christopher Walken.
Really?
Yes, he is the new Christopher
Walken.
Because
no one says lines like him. I reckon he's great. He's
and
the best.
Never actually looking at who he's talking to. Just floating the head around in the frame. Like, it's like he's lost the contact lens and he's losing it.
Where's that lens?
Just odd pauses. Yeah. Walken style.
Didn't someone tell us that that's the most syndicated show in the world?
CSI
Miami.
Really?
It's really hitting a chord in Lima, you know, Salvador, Mali.
I've just never heard anyone speak like that,
maybe,
in these countries. Is it time to go a-climbing? Top Talkback Mountain soaring. Ultravox style.
The Vox.
Time to ban stuff, don't you reckon?
Yeah.
Let's have a bonfire. Let's burn a few things we don't like. Family First style. What are they up to? Family First are concerned about the harm alcohol is wreaking on, families. Fair enough. Good point. But do they need to go this far? Popular sports stars such as David Boone and Alan Border, under a Family First regime, would be prohibited from advertising beer. That means, essentially, that little boony talking doll straight on the bonfire.
Just replaced by one of their senators going, have another baby
on the boonfire. Burn them all. House to house, the family first truck. Bring out your boony doll, throw it on the bag.
Replace it. Replace it with another doll going, we're not that Christian, really. Promise. Promise. No, I promise.
I don't want to see the Booney Doll silence like that.
The Booney Doll is great because it doesn't have anything to do with cricket when it goes off. A friend of mine had one. It's just in the middle of the night. We go, where's me dongs?
Yeah.
And like a shoeless intruder with a rough voice. Just come back from one of his own, you know, bits of clothing, not to nick the TV.
All right, it can be anything. What are we going to ban here? Okay. I've got the women's bags. Here's what I'd like to see banned. Photographs of celebrities blinking,
mm-hmm.
being passed off as photographs of celebrities off their face. There's Kirsten Dunst. I love weed.
There's like a spotlight worth of, you know, like a World War II aeroplane searchlight in their face on the end of a camera, and they've gone, well, look at the evidence.
So that's what they do. They white outside a nightclub with a giant,
yeah,
sort of bat signal
when
Kirsten Dunst comes out. Right, turn it on. She's squinting. Now she looks up at that. Fantastic. I'd like to see this band.
Mm.
Articles which suggest that Victoria Beckham is somehow attractive.
I don't know.
Posh's local shop style nose. Posh's total lack of credibility when it comes to claiming to be any kind of style or hotness figurehead.
Yeah, yeah, I hear you.
Ban it, replace it with Tony.
I'm going to put a future ban on. I know that Guns N' Roses are starting their Chinese Democracy World Tour.
Yeah, no sign of the album, but the tour is coming.
It's going to take 7 years. Now, this is going to be a huge tour. Millions of people are going to go, and more power to them. I'm sure people in this room really like Guns N' Roses. Maybe people who have been in this room really like Guns N' Roses. Mm-hmm. Now, I know what's going to happen. People are going to think it's okay to wear headbands, like bandanas tied around their head. They're not in the Crips or the Bloods, and they're going to think it's okay to wear a red headband and give high fives on the street to each other, clutching Jim Beam bottles.
I think piracy and buccaneer work should be confined to the AFL.
This is
not seen out on the streets and the venues.
Yeah, and it's only because I don't have the guts to get involved. Like, I've never had the guts to get involved. Like, if I go to a concert, like when I was a kid growing up, I was a homeboy, but I couldn't put the hat up. I couldn't get the Vanilla Ice lines in the side of my head. I could never wear all Orlando Magic basketball gear from head to foot. I just couldn't commit.
Sure.
So whenever I see people all getting into something, it makes me a bit jealous, and then I get angry.
So headbands banned.
Headbands.
Anything other than short trips. Did you hear about this couple from New York?
No.
They hailed a taxi and got it to drive them to Arizona because they didn't want their cats to fly.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
Couldn't the cats have called the bus?
That's ridiculous, though. They've got a cat.
Is there a photo?
All the way across the country, if you have any sense of the geography of the United States, New York's on the East Coast, Arizona's right in the middle of the desert. The really annoying is the cat who couldn't get a fare back.
Okay, you lost me a cat until I see the photograph.
Okay, well, there's a picture here of the cabs getting out of the out of the cab, and the trip took 6 days in a cab from New York to Arizona. Only 1 day longer than in a Jetstar flight, as a matter of fact.
Yeah!
I'm going to just knock one off the list.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people will call up and want Andrew Bolt's band. Give him a booing.
Bolt, what's he done?
Going in hard against Kevin Rudd because, of course, he's paid to say vote for John Howard. That's what he's paid to do by Rupert Murdoch, and he does it well. And today, he's determined to make this become a catchphrase, Sunrise. Rudd was trying to bring the dawn service forward on Sunrise. So it's now known as the Sunrise Affair. And he's used the phrase Sunrise about 20 times in his column, hoping it will catch on. But the trouble is, all it does is it just makes Bolt sound more racist than usual. Sunrise! It's a bit mean no Reiki.
Yeah, very bit.
Half the phones have gone down.
Yeah, that was it.
All right, that's the thing. Banning.
What do you want, band?
Let's get into it.
Give us a call, 1-2-3-5-3.
Now, band.
It's a bit of mandolin.
That's the sound we like here. Get this on Triple M, REM, losing my religion. What should be banned? Let's just ban stuff. very popular. Who's going to band up with
her? Hi, Fleur. How are you?
Oh, I'm very well, guys. How are you?
Great. What's beginning banned today?
Please, someone ban those foreign commercials. Now, they're usually Swedish cleaning things or beauty products that are dubbed by then Australian actors. And it's for toothpaste or something, and then this Australian voice comes out of her mouth, and it's clearly not that woman.
It's because there's no, I think the word is Foley. You know, they just redo the voice, but they don't redo any of the rustling or bumping. So it just sounds a bit sort of Godzilla style.
Terrible. It's disturbing to me.
It's almost as bizarre as that voice that comes out of David Caruso every week on the CSI.
That's it all.
Very odd.
Thank you, Fleur. Hello, Roy. How are you?
Good, thanks.
Good man, what are you banning?
I want to see a disclaimer at the end of all advertising that you can't even understand it that quick.
I see what you're saying. Like they'll say such and such relieves headaches.
Welcome to Meat Pies Australia or something, and the disclaimer's
really,
which means there's no actual meat in a pie. Yeah. It's not our problem if you find two pigs in there.
The pig that contains no actual meat products.
Yeah,
well, that's it.
Yeah, get rid of them all. Who would you replace them with? Maybe that's one for David Caruso, but a slow talking at the end.
Well, maybe just slow the disclaimer down and use that as the advertisement.
Written. Spoken and offline. No, it's all good ideas.
Thank you, Roy.
Arrest your king.
Hi, Scott. How are you?
Good, thanks, mate. Self?
Great, man. What do you want to ban?
Daryl Summers.
Scott, you don't think he's got the right vehicle at the moment? You want to see him just doing an hour of stand-up live every week on TV? Or what is it? What's going on?
Mate, he's just so past it. You know, America gave us Don Lane. Can't we give America Daryl Summers?
Oh, that's a good idea.
And did you see last night?
Yeah, I did.
Do you reckon Phoebe was pushed?
Yeah, maybe.
No, I reckon she's coming in now to see it. Oh, we don't like to see Phoebe in shed.
Thank you, sir. Hello, Johnny. How are you?
Not too bad, Ed. How you going?
Mate, I'm very good. What do you want to ban?
Fashion and beauty magazines. Okay, one of the main things they have in them is, like, you know, 50 ways how to please your man.
Yeah.
Now, this is education from a woman. There are four things that you need to be to do to please a man.
Yeah,
one.
All right, well, you just crack on, and if you get to one that can't go to air, we'll just have to beep you. All right, go for it.
Okay. One. Drive a V8.
Okay.
Two, like footy.
Okay.
Three, be able to cook.
Yeah.
Four, be able to put out. That's it.
Yeah, okay. I think what you're looking for there is an actual man, Johnny. You know what I mean? Apart from turning the ladies into yourself.
You're going to find a man that's going to be able to cook well.
So what are the other 46, you know, when you see those 50 ways?
I have no idea.
Well, they don't work. No.
A
lot of talk about wanting a man with a sense of humour.
Yeah. A lot of that stuff. Not as much V8 talk as Johnny would like.
Okay.
Beauty recipes. V8 talk.
All right. Let's ban those mags.
Hi, Peter. How are you?
Oh, hello. Not bad. Thank you.
What's going on?
I want to ban Seniors Week and Youth Week.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, well, maybe we could combine the two. Have Seniors Week and Youth Week, and then maybe everyone could swap jobs for the week.
A bit of seniors breakdance.
The old people getting around, like, in the backward baseball caps, like you'll see at election time, saying word up, and the young people just sitting at home writing angry letters to the paper about pronunciation. Everyone should have to fit the stereotype.
Peter, thank you for the most considered response we've ever had on this show. Thank you very much.
Thanks. That's all right, mate.
Is there a week you would like to be instituted?
No, he's off.
Hanging up on the radio show week. That's what it is every week.
Adrian,
on the
show. How are you?
Good, thanks, mate. Yourself?
I'm excellent. What do you want to ban?
I want to ban Hinder Lips of an Angel.
Not one of the people who stayed at the number one in the chart for so long?
Oh, I've downloaded it several times. I'm just sick of it.
Yeah. Oh, really? Right. Do you think that Hinder were just, holding Nickelback's seat?
I reckon they were. Yeah,
You know, like the Australia filling a seat for Coldplay, the Love Got Some New Gear.
And did you buy it, did you say, Adrian?
I did, yeah.
You bought it several times.
Did you buy the album with the National Lampoon's cover on it?
No, I didn't, actually.
there you go.
Great cover.
It is.
Because the album was rescued from the bargain bins.
Yeah.
It really was. It came out in 2005. Yeah. And then someone went, oh, that sounds a bit like Nickelback. Let's put that on. And then, surely they would have redone the cover if they'd known it was going to be that big.
Yeah.
Instead, it's just a set of jugs on some postcards. I mean, it's shifting units.
Come and get it. Thank you, sir. Thank you, everyone that called in.
All right, that's enough banning for one day. And in the next hour, I haven't met this bloke, but Ed Cavalier's been raving about him for weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Andy Saltzman.
It's not the way to go. And there's got to be peer pressure. There's got to be someone to say, give this guy some fucking life.
It's been an international comedy festival, and the big names keep coming. It's Andy Saltzman. Sorry, we're just playing any sound effect at our computer now, Andy.
Bananas. Always happy with our sound effects after my name.
What else?
I'll actually change, see if I can change my name officially so it has a sound effect.
So that everyone will have to pronounce it like that. Andy. Andy. What I love is every bio about you, and you've been shockingly perusing them and discovering you didn't write any of it, talks about, you know, one of the best political stand-ups in the business comes in, just wants to hear sound effects. Satirical sound effects, buddy, yeah? Is that true, or is that nonsense as well? Political issues, are they your main concern?
Yeah, they are, but I do tend to address them in a fairly idiotic way. I guess. Lots of contrived sporting analogies.
Some wonderful cricket ones.
Yeah.
Oh, I was loving
cricket. Yeah. There was a rumour flying around the internet and television stations that England were absolutely thrashed by South Africa last night, but that is not true. That didn't happen. That was a fake match that was broadcast. England actually won by 200 runs.
They so often do.
Have a Capricorn 1 moment.
Have you picked up any terminology here in Australia, any that you could use?
Well, from cricketing terminology.
Cricketing or any sort of word?
Not really, yeah, no. I guess because as a comedian, I've been doing most of the talking.
Yeah, that's fair enough.
So, yeah, they've been picking up my terminology.
And would any Australian politics ever make its way to where you live?
Australian politics isn't covered in great depth in Britain,
despite the charismatic prime minister.
Yeah. But, I sort of touch on it a little bit in my show, but I mean, I guess, you know, the kind of jokes about the war on terror.
Mm.
I can just tag the name John Howard on the air. Yeah, I've written especially the moment.
We love a bit of that. And this, again, this is from your bio that they've sent us. I don't know if this is true. It says, in longer sets, Andy's material can become a little too convoluted for its own good.
Well,
to get this, that's the theme of every show here.
Yeah. Who wrote that? How can anything be too convoluted? In my book, the more convoluted, the better.
That's, we like things convoluted.
Life is convoluted. My comedy merely reflects that.
Well, we're constantly told on radio, one thought per break. People can't handle one thought per break.
Oh, yeah, that's all they can
do. Oh, that's all they can do. There you go. But our philosophy, 17 thoughts per break, please.
Well, that's it, yeah. And they might not get all of those thoughts, but if they get two of them, then that's more than one.
Mm. Exactly.
So what more can they possibly want?
Ed told me that at the show he went to see, you were standing at the door continuing the show as people were leaving.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
So I've got too many jokes. So I have to put some in before the show starts and some more after the show.
It's actually nice. It's nice to come in and sit down and watch a show and there's not kind of the music going.
Yeah.
You sit down and you're like, oh, wait a second. I'm bopping along to, that's a joke.
Yeah.
That's not a thumping bass. It's a gag.
Yeah. Well, so, and when you do your own show, you obviously don't have a compare, so it's going to take a while to warm people up. So I've always tried to get some jokes in before I actually come on.
Yeah. Right.
Almost as a way of just slightly loosening up the crowd.
That's all right, loosener.
Yeah.
We like, do you know Alan Davies, Jonathan Creek?
I'm not well. I've played football against him.
Oh, have you? Is he good?
He's all right.
Right.
Well, he almost started a fight in one game.
Did he?
Over a throw-in.
Oh, right.
Yeah, but
throwing.
Games between comedians becoming incredibly competitive.
I saw some of your work on YouTube. Some lovely sort of midfield holding work.
Yeah, I'm one of the great midfield players Britain's produced in the last 30 years. You know. I'm kind of like a mixture between Glenn Hoddle and Brian Robson.
David Batty thrown in there?
Not at all. Well, I'd be a slightly more sophisticated player than Batty. But, you know, I can do a lot. I'm also one of the few genuinely two-footed players that British football has thrown up.
Right.
For a very long time.
We do like to keep 17 thoughts going at once on this program. So let me just go back to Alan Davies.
Oh, sorry.
He has a great trick with his stand-up where he'll come out and he'll just muck around for the first, you know, 3 or 4 minutes. And when he feels the audience kind of going, he points out that nobody really just arrives at work and starts working immediately.
Yeah.
A bit of rubbish at the photocopying machine, making a copy.
Yeah. Well, the brief period of my life that I had a proper job, I would do anything to avoid starting work. And that's why I started doing cryptic crosswords. I was so bored at work that I would write out cryptic clues on a little post-it note. So I would sit in my desk looking like I was working really hard. I was just trying to work out.
What sort of job was that?
It was a job sub-editing magazines about European finance.
So you would come up with punny headlines.
We don't know. It was all very, very dry.
Oh, surely the Rand or something could give you something, the Nikkei?
Nothing. Absolutely. It was the most boring job in the world.
We want to be, you know, we know nothing about British politics on this show.
Yes.
You know, I can feel the audience already pushing over. We're going to find something to talk about in there. That'll be next time. Get this. Hands open. That's Snow Patrol here again. This on Triple M. Andy Zossman, comedian from the UK, is with us. And I don't know if you'd be a fan of 24. Have you ever seen that show?
Massive fan of 24.
Really?
For me, it's probably the greatest documentary series ever.
It's on tonight, 10:30.
Cool.
Sort of.
What are they up to, Tom? Because I watch it illegally off the download.
Yeah.
And what is the regular TV up to?
Well, I've got a clip from tonight's episode.
All right, then.
This is from the beginning of tonight's episode of 24.
Vice President Daniels has won nuclear strategy prior to the meeting. He's attacked World War III, which is why we have to fight before Daniels launches the strike. What is happening?
Within the hour, of course it is. Why don't they just sit there at ZTU and go, something's going to blow up. It's going to be exactly 59 minutes and 59 seconds.
Everyone take a break till then.
I love that guy's voice. That guy?
Yeah.
Always eating Maltesers as he talks.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, well, no, so I'm about probably three episodes behind when we left came over here, so you've really spoiled it.
Oh, yeah.
They're running around looking for a bomb. But yeah. They will do anything plot-wise. That's what I love about 24. Yeah. You don't watch it for depth of character.
No. Yeah, if you want something for depth of character, you watch Neighbours. And it's really right. Get raw, unadulterated excitement.
See what Pep is up to, you know?
Character you're after.
Sorry, Andy's probably a couple of years behind.
Are you?
Oh,
okay.
In the future, Madge is still alive.
Things don't go well for her.
We love that because we get EastEnders 2 years behind, or even older, yeah. And you listen to what music they're playing.
Yeah.
Who Let the Dog Down?
Peter Andre's Funky Junkie. Run going on to it.
Now, look, British politics, we know bugger all about it. Who's this Gordon Brown? What's he do?
Gordon Brown, he is Tony Blair's successor in waiting. And when I say waiting, I mean waiting for the last 13 years.
13? See, we have Peter Costello. He's been waiting 11, I think, or 11. He's been treasurer at least.
Yeah. Well, I do think British and Australian politics are identical with different names and slightly different accents. In that we have a leader that no one likes, but consistently wins
elections.
And yet no one ever says, oh yeah, Tony Blair, he's fantastic. And it seems the same over here with John Howard, and yet he still wins. How many do you want? Four in a row?
Four in a row.
Yeah. No, if he wins a fifth in a row, he gets to keep it.
Yeah. Yeah, never met a single person who will admit that they voted for him.
That's true.
What you do have in England that we love is incredibly unattractive men involved in sex scandals.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, I guess, you know, looking at the British gene pool, then there's, you know, if any man is involved in it, it's likely to be unattractive. But, yeah, no, it's quite remarkable. And I don't know, I think the blame for that has to go to British women. Speaking with these people.
Who was the bloke who was... having sex with his secretary in his office with the door open. That was maybe a year ago.
Oh, well, that doesn't narrow it down.
No, sorry about that.
Well, every self-respecting British male in the position of power and responsibility has sex with a secretary with the door open. Yeah. It's one of the unwritten rules. But we don't have a written constitution. That's why people can get away with it.
Do what they like.
They can have as they go along.
You ever thought of getting rid of the royal family?
Oh, yes. Yeah, a lot. And then the problem is, what are you left with? I guess it's the same argument you had over here when you had your vote about it. The prospect of King John Howard is even worse.
So, you've probably seen our flag. It just has the Union Jack just up in the corner.
Yeah, yeah.
Just reserved.
Fighting its time.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll have that empire back up and running within 10 years, I know.
And rightly so. Well, why did that fail? I just think like you say, there was this move to go Republic. But then a whole lot of celebrities who everyone hated got behind it. Yeah. I think that turned it off more than anything.
Yeah, well, I think there's two things that really turn voters off. One is celebrities, as you say, and two is politicians. So in any political vote, you're going to have problems trying to persuade people to vote for you because you're going to have politicians involved. And, you know, the standard response when you see any politician saying anything is somewhere between suicide and immigration, or at least just sitting and slamming your head against the table for a couple of hours to take the pain away.
We just can't, you know, there's always, every couple of years, there'll be someone who they push as like the people's...
We had
a guy called Bill Shorten last year.
The Short.
And they always find something. There's always some dirt. There's always someone's got some shares. Someone's got a conflict of interest.
Yeah.
I mean, what's the story? I mean, is it because... anyone who's really great just would never go into politics.
I think there is probably an element of that. And, I mean, there's an argument that anyone who wants to become a career politician, who actually wants to go into politics, should be banned from doing so. And it'd be probably a much fairer system. You'd probably get a higher quality of politics if people were kind of selected, like the jury service, and, you know, were forced. But, you know, to spend 2 weeks being foreign minister.
2 weeks each, that'd be nice.
Good, wouldn't it? And rather than deciding, I want to be a politician and flick my worldview on the voters, just plucked out of thin air.
Have you seen our foreign minister by any chance, Alexander Downer?
I've not seen Mr. Downer, not aware of his work.
We've got an idea for putting him on that TV show, Thank God You're Here. Pushing him through a door, and his scenario is he's Australia's foreign minister.
He'll be lost. He will be lost.
How long he lasts?
What do you describe him as? Completely made of pudding?
He needs to be made of pudding to me. Is that just me?
It's you. That smacks of you.
Hey, made from, did you say?
Yeah.
Made from?
Yeah.
Is that a cue to play What Have You Made?
Well, it's going to have to be, don't? Because there was no other links.
So that's going to have to be it.
We like to find out what people have made themselves.
Yeah. Right. There we go.
Yeah. Not just things they've bought from the shop.
No.
Things they've constructed on scratch.
Knocked up. Right.
Could be an anti-gravity machine like a bloke's working on in Gippsland, Victoria.
Yeah.
You ever think what you have made yourself, Andy?
Okay.
And we'll be back to play What Have You Made?
This will get your blood boiling.
That's what you're listening to. Get this. That's us, Tony Martin, Ian Cavalier, Richard Martin's here. Andy Saltzman is with us, sitting in for this hour. His show is at the Melbourne International Comedy Festival. Is it just called Andy Saltzman, Andy?
No, the full title is Andy Saltzman Decimates 60 Minutes of Unbridled Evening.
Yeah. He's made it himself. Yes. He's made his own show. That's what we're playing today. Yeah,
that's pretty much all I've ever made myself. I do make a very good carbonara. I don't know if that counts.
Oh, really? Oh, yeah.
What's the secret?
A bit of nutmeg.
Really?
Yeah.
Really, I can't advocate nutmeg and a carbonara highly enough.
Right.
Wow. We're tough judges of carbonara down this way.
Yeah. Bolognese is my go.
Yeah.
And Tabasco.
Tabasco, interesting, because I'd chuck a load of nutmeg in a bolognese.
Would you?
Not making anything.
Where will you stop? Where will it end? Which one does our Prime Minister like?
Mariana.
There you go.
That's Mariana.
That's right. It is Mariana.
He says it right the first time, but then he corrects himself.
Why are we doing this, Ed? Why are we playing What Have You Made? You claim some kind of connection with Andy.
Thank you very much.
Richard,
hand me the bit of paper I was looking for. No, there's two reasons. Because there's the anti-gravity, look at this, Andy. There's a guy out in the middle of sort of nowhere who's built an anti-gravity wheelbarrow.
Right.
He stuffs gravity in one end.
Yep.
Something happens in the wheelbarrow. Out the other end, it spews anti-gravity.
Oh, I see. Right.
And it's going to change the world.
Really? A wheelbarrow.
Yeah.
I'm not sure why.
Yeah.
What is it? Okay, anti-gravity comes out. What does it do? Causes things to float.
Yeah, if you get in its way out the back of the wheelbarrow, it'll just float off.
Right.
Rocks and stuff, your shoes and that kind of thing.
Oh, I see. And is this supposed to make gardening easier?
I think it's just sort of anything that you cut up just sort of off into the atmosphere.
Right, I see. I'm guessing it's because of the rising sea levels. He wants it, if we can all float a bit higher.
Yeah, we'll get out of there.
All right, what have you made?
Well, yeah, obviously I've tried to make an anti-gravity wheelbarrow as well, so we bring it up.
Yeah,
but it's never worked. Yeah, I've always found that gravity is a very persistent enemy. Hard one to hope.
You're saying there was a second reason in Beverly?
Oh, yes, that's right. My friend Ben has heard you, how do I say this without saying being like the money dude?
Heard a story that you told about about a catapult.
Yes, catapulting himself to the moon.
That's right.
So I can't claim to have made the catapult, given that it is made up, but I didn't make up the story.
Brilliant.
does that count?
Yeah. People love to make things themselves. I mean, why buy something from the shops when you can make a better version yourself?
Yeah.
I mean, who did we have the other day? Who I think it was David O'Doherty.
Oh yes,
whose dad made him a wooden Millennium Falcon. Much better than one you could buy from the shop.
My mum made me a. We moved houses when I was a kid in Brisbane, and I had a secret passage in my room. There was one door here, and then one door around the other end of the room, and there was like a thin passage in between.
Oh yes.
And I started sleeping in there, and so she started moving sort of furniture down into my room to store it. And it got to the point where it was no longer a choice to sleep in there. I had to sleep in the passage because my bed had boxes on it.
Wow, that's impressive. So I think, I used to make my own comics when I was a kid.
That's right.
But rather than make my own characters, I would just create new issues of existing comics.
Right, Green Lantern.
The Green Lantern. I did about three issues of the Green Lantern.
What happened to the Green Lantern in your pages?
Well, if you remember, the Green Lantern's ring didn't work against anything yellow, so I just had him constantly, failing to stop the theft of a van full of post-it notes. Things like that.
All of the Australian one-day cricket team.
Hello. Gloves are off. Yeah. What have you made, Mr. Marsland?
When I was a young man, I used to love keeping lizards. I used to keep lizards.
Yeah.
That pen.
Who doesn't?
Blue tongues, stumpy tails, beautiful.
Where did you get them?
Well, you would. I mean, I had a license, and that's the only way you can keep.
Did you have a license?
I had a license. Yeah, I used to want to be a herpetologist. Not as disgusting as it sounds. I actually made a lizard enclosure, which was half a rainwater tank.
Wow.
And it was brilliant because lizards are shuttlers, and they'll shuttle between sun and shade, like the exact kind of heat that they need because they're solar powered, cold blooded. The only thing is they had a litter of lizards, which was a real triumph. It's very hard to have a lizard that will have a baby. You know, it's very hard to get them to breed in captivity.
Yeah, very career-minded lizard. Yeah. Yeah. I don't want to make that sacrifice.
It's never the right time.
And it was a real goal. And then it was fantastic, but I had no roof on the thing. I had no wire over the top. Yeah. So the next day, obviously, a hawk came down and took little baby lizards away.
Obviously,
oh,
no, a hawk came down.
So you
should have a minute's silence for those lizards.
So essentially, you built a bain-marie for a hawk.
Exactly, that's what I did. He just came
little
through.
Or you can eat buffet for a hawk.
Well, all my stories are sad this week.
Yeah. I don't think we're impressing our guests. We need the listeners to get on board.
It's quite impressive, making your own lizard enclosure.
Yeah,
that is true.
I've never met anyone who's made their own lizard enclosure.
Better than the ball ones.
And you made a great reason to get me to ask Andy about the catapult, which I completely forgotten.
Yeah.
It was nice.
I've made a mess of the segment, is that what you're saying? I've done it myself.
I did.
We want to hear what you've made, listeners. Call up and impress.
Nothing too small, nothing too big, nothing too ambitious. All of these things we want. Anything.
My grandfather once made a scale model of the Titanic out of salt.
Really?
No.
We would expect
a lot of lies. I've had quite a dull life. I have to make things up.
That will get straight on if that's you, listeners. Call up and impress Andy Saltzman with our Oz Ingenuity 133353.
Yes, we know.
Thank you, Bon Jovi. Living on a Prayer here at Get This on Triple M. Comedian Andy Saltzman is sitting in. He's seeking to be impressed by Australian inventors. Have we got any on the line yet?
Hey, Peter, how are you?
Yeah.
Oh, really good, man. What'd you build?
We've made our own pinball machine.
Pinball. And did you theme it? Did you give it a movie theme or a?
Dear, obviously didn't make a very good antenna for his phone.
That's by a Dalek. What? Sorry, say that again, Peter. What theme was it?
We had a piece of timber.
Yeah.
A flat piece of board.
Yeah.
With nails all the way around it,
mm-hmm.
And interconnecting all the nails was rubber bands.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
We had a couple of paddles strapped on the side, basically,
mm-hmm.
And a stainless steel ball bearing.
Wow. And away you went.
And away we went.
How do you keep score, Peter?
Well, you had to get the ball into little undersized holes, but the ball would actually just sit into the hole.
Oh, yeah.
And we had to mark, you know, for the marking pen, 50 or 100 points or whatever, and then
brilliant.
You had to put your finger underneath and flip it back out.
So it's the honor system. I like that. The high score is all based on the honor system. I like that, Peter.
Making your own pinball machine. Can we go better than that, do you think, Andy?
I can't imagine how any invention could better a homemade pinball machine.
It's a lot of work.
3,000 years of civilization reaching its very zenith.
We'll go better than that. Watch this.
Peter, how are you?
Yeah. Good, Ed, yourself?
Good, mate. What'd you build?
Turfinator.
What's that?
A 3/8 lawnmower.
I'm good. How big is it?
About 2.5 metres long, about 1,200 wide.
And is there any grass left at all in Brisbane, or have you just got it all?
Oh, it's not quite finished yet. It's still a work in progress, but it's really been...
How long have you been for? Is it? It's not finished yet. How long have you been going on it, Peter?
About 3 months.
Okay, what do you need, what's left to do?
Chasing a radiator.
Chasing a radiator. If anyone's got one, call in.
Wow, I'm picturing something like Battle Truck. Wouldn't that be good in the backyard?
Question of pain?
Yeah, sure.
Where's Mick Malloy?
He's in a box in the corner. We're dropping scraps of food in. He'll be fine. Don't worry about that, Andy.
Thank you, Pete. Oh, he's off. He's like, I'm sending me Pete. I'm off. All right, thank you. Hi, Simon. How are you?
How you going?
Yeah, good, man. What'd you build?
I can't believe you put me after the V8 lawnmower bloke.
No.
I'm not going to stack up now.
Oh,
I was staying at my nana's and my mum and dad had gone away and I really wanted a bird, a pet bird.
Yep.
And my nan said, well, you need a cage if you want a pet bird. So out of a cardboard box, I made a cage and then took it into nan and said, well, I've got a cage. Can I have a bird? And she said, no, you can't have a bird in a cardboard cage. So not to be outdone, I went and built a cardboard perch and a cardboard bird.
all the problems. You solve the problems.
Yeah. It's really hard to cut the bars on the cage, so thinly that you could view the bird from a distance. So you had to put your face up against the box and sort of position your eyes through the slot to view the bird. But
what kind of bird did you make?
Parrot.
Nice one.
Yeah, it was a... Didn't say much, but yeah.
You've got to be careful with cardboard parrots because they seem docile. They really snap.
Go your fingers, Simon.
And, can I ask, Simon, what do you do for a job now?
I'm an electrician.
Oh, right.
Actually,
I
own a cardboard pet store.
Yeah, I was hoping for prison designer.
Thank you, Simon. Hello, Evan. How are you?
Good, guys. Yourself?
We're excellent. What'd you make?
Actually, it wasn't me. It was a mate of mine. On the catapult issue, a mate of mine made a trebuchet.
Oh,
yeah, basically it's like an A-frame with a big arm that launches things through the sky.
And what did he launch?
We were launching bowling balls, large rocks. We were going to launch the dog, but the wife got home.
Where were you aiming the dog? Like, where was he headed?
Well, it was actually in his backyard, and funnily enough, the neighbour's swimming pool was about 20 foot away.
Oh.
Trying to aim for that.
Dude, that sounds like
the name for it.
The word try there, that's the key word. Was the dog keen to take part? Or
No, kind of hid under the house for a while. Yeah. So.
See what happened to the bowling ball. Well, that sounds like a potential YouTube masterpiece waiting to go.
Evan, don't you be discouraged, all right? I want you to get back out there and load some stuff. Maybe not the dog, though. Hello, Peter, how are you?
Hi, it's Peter. I'm making a kite this afternoon.
A kite this afternoon? What are you making it from?
Well, it was actually the parts from one I bought in the city, but it had this plastic cover on it, and it was just rubbish. It was far too much friction. So I've got this really smooth brown paper, you know, the kind of brown paper they use to wrap your clothes up in when you went to buy shopping in the city. And it's got four corners. I've got lots of string. I've got the frame from that old kite, and I've got the tail. I've done the weight to surface area calculations, and I figure I can make it fly as long as I don't overweight it. So I figure if I use less than 553 feet of sticky tape, I'll be right.
Wow! So that's a wonderful amount of precision that's gone into that.
Just a backtracking one. I was just referring to the chap about the lawnmower.
Yeah.
I ripped off the old Briggs and Stratton motor off a motor mower.
Yeah.
And took out the electric motor out of one of those garden rubbish crunchers, you know, shredder things.
Mm.
Mounted it on top of the frame of the motor mower and had an electric motor mower. The only thing was the blades went the wrong way round, so the grass catcher didn't quite work. But
Well, that's all right. The blades went the wrong way round.
Yeah.
I mean, the grass grew instead of
promoting
growth. Hey, well, I have a nice afternoon flying.
What do you do for a job, Peter? Come on.
Okay, I'm a retired computer programmer.
Hey, Beth, the luck, is it windy?
Yeah, there's lots of wind. There's no rain. Right. The brown paper shouldn't shred up because there's no rain about, so that'll be all right.
It's going to be a wonderful afternoon. Enjoy yourself.
Yeah, man, that is... See the range of invention we have in this country?
Well, what you get from, you know, a young, thrusting nation such as Australia. So, you know, in Britain, we've all become a bit blasé about inventions and people are making, you know, their own lawnmowers 500 years ago. Now we can't be bothered.
Hello, Rochelle, how are you? Hi, Rochelle, how are you?
Hello, I'm pretty good. Hello.
Rochelle, are you there?
Yes, how are you?
Well, great. What have you made?
It was actually my dad. He made me two things.
Okay.
When I was young, I really wanted to slip and slide.
So did I.
Yeah. Dad, straight into the shed, piece of plastic, bit of detergent hose, there you go, slip and slide.
Now, hang on, Rochelle, did you, did you use a kind of form that was kind of weaved together? So when you were sliding down, it was just sort of various... bits of carpet burn played through canvas with some detergent on top. Is that what happened to you?
No, it was more like a piece of plastic. So if you got dirt on it, you kind of got, like, you know, burn on your stomach or something afterwards.
Yeah, absolutely.
And slide injury.
And did you not have anywhere to end up? Because ours didn't end anywhere because we didn't have a pool. So it just kind of fell into a puddle of mud near the back fence.
Oh, no, straight along the grass burn on your stomach as well. Nice.
Well, the slip and slide, as I understand it, is banned under the new water restrictions.
Yeah, Surely that's the most efficient way of doing washing up. You just throw all your plates.
Well, ours version to his work.
Ours is fun. Good way to have a shower.
Good way to clean your clothes. Just a different set of clothes each time you slide down.
Yeah.
There you go.
Sensible.
Environmentally friendly as well as entertaining for the kids.
Sensible policies for a better Australia. That's what we're working for here at Get This. Thank you to everyone who called. More in a moment on Get This. On Canadian Council, suddenly I see here again. This Andy Zaltzman is with us. You know, we were going to try and impress you with some of our political satire on the show.
All right.
Yeah.
Go on. Let's have some.
Unfortunately, it's too long. The bit we've got is like 4 minutes long, and we won't get another song in, and then there'll be trouble. Have we got any short examples of political satire, Mr. Markle?
Sure. My message to the people of West Papua is simply this.
It's my message.
Well, if I held it back, you'd have said, why have you held it back? Why have you covered it up?
Someone opened the door!
Shocking horror, another cover up.
Well, that's fair.
Well, it's one of the rules of comedy, and this dates back, you know, 2,500 years to the ancient Greeks inventing comedy. Farting is funny. That will always be funny. You know, us professional comedians can slave away for hours in our little comedic offices trying to come up with a perfect joke. A man farting will always be funnier than that.
That's right. And it's always good, like you say, if you can go back to the ancient Greeks. Or I notice some of you more pretentious comedians will drop in the word Rabelaisian. I don't know what that means. But it's some sort of word that allows you to get away with anything.
What does that mean? Well, I think the key with comedy is to try to make yourself look far more intelligent than you actually are by using long words.
All right, well, there'll be none of that here. We've got to squeeze in the spin doctors, and then we'll be back to wind things up. I'll get there. Thanks for sitting in for the whole hour. Hang on, put his mic on.
It was a pleasure when I first said it.
Andy's show is on at the Melbourne International Comedy Festival. You really must go and see it. Ed Cavalli has witnessed it and can personally recommend that I'll be getting along this weekend. And are you going around the country? Can you be sure?
No, Melbourne only.
Oh, well,
Melbourne only show.
I'm hoping there'll be some sort of DVD for our Brisbane listeners to put on.
You can hope all you like.
If you're in Brisbane,
fly down.
Call someone who says at the show and get them to hold the phone up.
There you go.
You'll hear all the good news.
Not distracting at all.
Okay, thanks for coming in, Andy. Thanks to everyone who called up and took an interest. Thank you, everyone. Our key phrase today, I think it was simply, ladies and gentlemen, Miss BB Bob. We're getting